This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. When it comes to high school science textbooks, Texas has a lot of clout, and that's because whichever book the Texas Board of Education approves, it's used by all the students in the state, and that's a very big market. So textbook publishers have in the past tailored their books to meet Texas standards, and those books, the Texas-tailored books, get used by students in lots of other states too. So the recent wrangling over new science standards by the Texas Board of Education was especially interesting to follow, because what happens in Texas might not stay in Texas. The Texas School Board voted to adopt new science standards that are, well, sort of confusing. If you look at the newspaper headlines the next morning, you can see that even the newspaper reporters had a hard time sorting it out, as well as the cable TV stations. Joining us now to make sense of it is Eugenie Scott. She's executive director of the National Center for Science Education in Oakland. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira. It's nice to be here.
We were watching the news stories the day after the vote was taken, and as I say, it seems like there was a lot of confusion. The headlines seemed to be giving victory to each side. Is that your take on it?
It was confusing, and I can understand why people would be confused, because there were a lot of ups and downs. Let me just give you the short version. You are absolutely right. This is all about textbooks. The science standards in Texas were up for revision. Committees were appointed to revise them, and the committees made some changes that were intended to avoid problems that occurred the last time textbooks were adopted. There was wording in the old standards that called for teaching the strengths and weaknesses of scientific theories. And creationists on the board used that wording as a club to try to get publishers to rewrite books to include, well, frankly, a lot of creationist junk science. But in 2003, they were a minority, and so they failed. They are now a near majority, and this time, when the standards were revised, the board ignored the committee's intent and put back language that would allow them to do the same thing when textbooks come up for adoption 2 years from now. And this is what's scary about what happened a couple weeks ago. They did this by inserting, well, it's son of strengths and weaknesses, frankly. It's the phrase they use is examining all sides, which sounds innocuous, but it's going to be used the same way that strengths and weaknesses had been used years ago to try to get the creationist ideas into the textbooks. And then they also added a bunch of standards that provide loopholes for teaching creationist ideas, and as if this wasn't enough, they also added a bunch of qualifiers to the standards that would weaken the presentation of evolution and make it more tentative, make it more likely students wouldn't take it seriously, and so forth. Although, you know, as you say, the newspapers were kind of confused about what happened. There were so many amendments and so many revisions, and it was very confusing to follow. And frankly, they tried to get a whole lot more bad stuff in, and the moderates on the school board managed to thwart a lot of it. But there's still plenty to worry about. So it's definitely a mixed bag, and I think on the whole, not a victory for science education. Mm.
I understand also that the age of the universe is no longer to be found in Texas science standards.
Not specifically, no. That was one of the things they took out. They took out...
How do you teach science without talking about the age of the universe?
Well, teachers can still do this, but they won't be directly told to tell students that it's 14 billion years old, plus or minus. This is one of the weakening amendments that I was talking about when they modified what were fairly straightforward science standards to include more wishy-washy language. Like, for example... let's see, what's a good example? Proposed transitional fossils is one of the phrases that was stuck in. When in the Earth Science Standards, talking about changes in the Earth's atmosphere, that could have occurred. Radioactive decay, which are thought to allow protoplanet differentiation. All these qualifying terms just to make it seem a little wimpier and to water down the coverage of evolution. Mm-hmm. And that's problematic because what that does is it sends a signal to teachers that they have to be tentative about evolution, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, in fact, the wedge document that we saw before talked about talking about you know, teaching the problem that might be with evolution.
And, oh, yeah. And, well, and, that's what this is all about.
And the fact that we're just talking about there might be a problem is sort of a victory for them, is it not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of the time the creationists claim great victory whenever anything like this happens. But this time it's not just spin. They did get what they want, and they're high-fiving it all over the place. They're very happy. And you're right. There's intelligent design fingerprints all over this this document.
I mean, even, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say there's a couple of additions that were made where comments about the complexity of the cell, which is one of the things that intelligent design proponents obsess about. And complexity of the cell is not something that you talk about in high school. You know, I mean, you talk about the basics, but you talk about cell division and, you know,
right,
solutions and stuff. You don't get about that. But there's the origin of life is one of the things that the ID, the intelligent design people are quite distressed about. And so there was a qualifier added to one of the origin of life statements in the Earth and Space Science standards about given the complexity of living systems, did all these things happen? So it's just a way of being able, trying to provide loopholes to bring in the creationist arguments, to bring in the intelligent design arguments. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's actually going to happen depends on two things. It depends on how strongly the teachers in Texas buck the system, so to speak, how whether they interpret these standards as being able to teach straight science in them. And even more importantly for the rest of us in the country is whether the textbook publishers will knuckle under to this sort of thing. Because there are ways of wording your textbook text, ways of expressing things that would work around some of these things. But it's going to take some work, and certainly we're going to try to work with the textbook publishers to see that that happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about how confused the press were, how they were covering this. I was just reading a CNN on the CNN site where they talked, it was Texas Board comes down on two sides of creationism debate. And even inside the language that the reporting uses, it says proponents of evolution. I mean, it's like saying proponents of a round earth, you know? It's like
the earth, it's spherical, it's spherical.
I mean, but that kind of language is, you know, it's making its way. It's even as if to legitimize that there is no evolution because there are proponents and non-proponents of it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I mean, obviously, it's part of the responsibility of the press to report a variety of positions that are expressed about a particular issue, but it is not it's not responsible journalism to present two sides that are obviously so disproportionate as being equally valid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the percentage of scientists that deny evolution is minuscule, and none of them are in the relevant fields. You know, there's the old joke that lawyers have about expert witnesses, that for every PhD, there is an equal and opposite PhD. And that is not the case in the situation of evolution at all. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of scientists who are researching and contributing to evolutionary theory, and just a small handful of naysayers. And why are we giving these people attention in our public school?
Well, that's what I have Chester on the line from St. Louis. Hi, Chester.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, you know, why does it matter what the people of Texas teach their children? It's their children and it's their tax dollars. Evolution is not going to, you know, provide better fuel economy for my vehicle or anything that really matters to us on a day-to-day basis. So.
Well, I would tend to disagree with you on that, Chester. You are a living, breathing human being. You're a mammal and a vertebrate, and you have medical problems, and evolution is going to and has made some contributions to your health and well-being, as well as making a lot of contributions to the stability of your of the agricultural system that you depend upon for the fuel in your tank, if not your automobiles. So actually, evolution is a whole lot more important and biology than most people think, and I think the reason why many people don't understand that is because it is either not taught or very poorly taught at the high school level, and frankly, it's not taught all that well at the college level.
Mm-hmm. And teachers avoid teaching it, don't they?
Well, for good reason. I mean, there's a lot of people, well, there's not that many people, but there's a very loud minority of people who object to evolution for religious reasons, and they tend to make their views known to teachers, and unless teachers are supported by their supervisors, their principals, the Board of Education, and citizens in the community who care about science education, it's much easier for a teacher to just fold under that kind of pressure, because, you know, if they wanted to fight, they'd have gone into law. This is a helping profession. You want mm-hmm. to teach kids and not have to argue with parents all the time. Mm-hmm. So the easiest thing to do is just to skip evolution that semester.
Is it possible that textbook publishers could say, all right, we'll make a special edition for Texas? It's so important to them.
Well, that's a very interesting issue about the current situation with the Texas education standards, because it's different now than it was 10 years ago. There's a lot more digital publishing. There's a lot more modular publishing in the textbook industry. And if Texas wanted to, it could, excuse me, if the publishers wanted to, they could come out with a Texas edition that had all the crappy science in it and come out with a standard science edition for the rest of the country. They're not going to do that on their own because it costs more money, and we're in a recession, and they're not going to be looking for ways to spend money, certainly. But I think if the textbooks submitted to Texas in a couple of years are compromised in this way, then I think it's important for the scientists and citizens and parents and the rest of the country to say, up with this, we will not put. We will not buy these books. You have to write a straight science book for us without all of these weaknesses and other nonsense that Texas made you put in.
Just about a minute to go. The other states, are they hanging in there?
Well, it's touch and go. Every time a state revises its science education standards, we have to be on the lookout for the watering down of evolution or the bringing in of these alleged weaknesses of evolution. There's usually about 4 to 6 states per year that revise their standards, and there always seems to be some sort of problem.
Yeah.
Most of these we can solve behind the scenes. I don't mean we personally. NCSE works with people in states to, monitor these things and try to get good information out to the decision makers. But Texas is a really big state, like you said in the intro,
yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense for us to have paid a lot of attention to Texas, because
right.
It really is the 500-pound gorilla here.
Thank you, Dr. Scott, for taking time to be with us. Good
Thanks.
Luck to you. Eugenia Scott is Executive Director of the National Center for Science Education in Oakland, California. We're going to switch gears and come back and talk about climate change and how the new administration is tackling it. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR News.